Today's scripture reading is Psalm 86, verses 1 to 13, a prayer of David. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. This is a reading of the word.
So the psalmist sings, teach me your way, Lord, and I will walk and rely on your faithfulness. Or other translations, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. And then, of course, Jesus says in the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. God, may your word be sweeter than honey and life to our souls. Amen. Gordon was a couple years older, two, 3 years older, maybe four, than I. I was his pastor in Indiana. He was unpretentious as rural Kansas, where he came from. If you've ever been to rural Kansas, you know that's unpretentious. People don't brag about being from western Kansas much. He went to Harvard for a PhD, and it didn't make him big-headed in the least. He was always just Gordon from western Kansas. I used to kid him that he graduated first in his class in high school, because I knew there were only seven people in his class. Gordon was a wonderful man, still is. The best church member. No one's ever had a better church member than Gordon. He was just, and he was the kind of person who was always, even when he disagreed with you, he'd smile when he talked. You know people like that? He was just a smile, even when he didn't agree with what you're talking about. He was always so gracious. We were close not only as friends, but our families were close as well. He had two daughters, and I had two daughters, and they were all the same age. They knew each other from Sunday school and church. And so we might be at their house for Thanksgiving dinner, and they might be at our house for Christmas dinner. And we went camping together. Now, I mean we went camping, not like they do now. I mean, I see these people, they say they're going camping, and it's a house on wheels. You know, and they take it out into the country, and they have a kitchen and a bathroom, and they cook on a stove and all this kind of stuff, and sleep off the ground. They call that camping. Oh my gosh. No, but that's not camping. Camping is what Gordon's family and my family used to do. We'd go up to Wisconsin, and we would put up a tent, and we would sleep on the ground in sleeping bags, and we would make a fire to cook our food. That's camping. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know it was coming when Gordon and I had lunch that day. It's day that changed my life. It hurt to hear what he had to say to me because he was my best friend. It also hurt because what he was saying was the truth. Gordon laid out for me pretty clearly where I had failed as pastor of the congregation. And what people I had failed. And how I had failed them. And my life was changed from that lunch. I changed. It was my moment of meekness, if I ever had one. Meekness, you see, and Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Meekness means being teachable. Being open to the truth that is beyond your own mind and your own heart. One of my favorite writers says that we have this infinite capacity of self-deception. Do you understand that? Or another person said it this way, maybe it's a little clearer. Don't trust yourself to know yourself. You see, we're not able to do that. But in our arrogance and our false self-confidence, when we think we know it all, we think we know everything, we think we know ourselves, and we think we know what we need, and we don't. That's why the psalmist that we read from this morning, and it's just one of the times when the psalmist does this, the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, your way, and I will walk in your truth. The fact is that we cannot know our own heart. We cannot know our own needs. And the psalmist, and I guess that's why churches read the psalm. Some of them read the psalm every Sunday in worship. Because the psalmist, all through those 150 chapters of the psalms, keeps talking about the joy of the law and the joy of being taught. How God is a good shepherd who guides us and leads us beside still waters and pastures green. And how God's way, God's word, is sweeter than honey. And how the psalmist will say, oh God, your love is better than life. Your steadfast love is better than life. Better than life. How would we know that unless we are meek, unless we are teachable, and unless we let God's grace and love come into us and show us who we are and what we need. There is no place for arrogance in that. Meekness means that we are teachable, that we can change, that we can hear a word beyond our own echo chamber, that we are enabled to see our own self hurts, how we hurt ourselves and the way we live, and how we hurt and offer pain to other people we can't see that in ourselves unless we're helped to get out of that, to be meek enough to learn, to see, to change, like I did that lunch hour long time ago. Many years after that, I reminded Gordon of our lunch, and you know what he said? He said, "I don't even remember it, but I do. I do." That lunch, that conversation, was God's word speaking to me from outside myself. And thank God, at that moment, I was able to hear. It was my best moment of meekness, and I wish I would have heard it long before that day. You don't know the name of Stanley Hauerwas. It's okay. You shouldn't know it. He was actually, I doubt if anyone would remember this probably, but Time magazine once had his picture on the front cover. Wouldn't you like to have your picture on the front cover of Time magazine? Stanley Hauerwas, America's best theologian. I was blessed beyond words in reading his memoir this past week. And Rose, you can tell David, thank you for the book. We went to play golf, and David just threw me the book. Here, it's a good book. And I read it, and it was a blessing that beyond words. Stanley Hauerwas grew up in Texas. Don't hold that against him. He grew up Methodist. And when his father was a bricklayer who worked in a crew of people who built buildings, bricklayers. I learned more about bricklaying in that memoir. I didn't know anything about laying bricks. And Stanley, when he was 7 years old, began working with his father, and he learned to lay brick and he learned to cuss. Eventually, he gave up laying brick. And to this day, he hasn't given up cussing, to the dismay of a lot of pious ears. He went to graduate school, got a PhD, and landed a teaching job at a small Lutheran college in the Midwest, and not long after that, a teaching job at Notre Dame. Now, God has a sense of humor. A Methodist teaching theology at Notre Dame who cusses like a sailor. That's, God's got to have a sense of humor. And Stanley Hauerwas writes in his memoir that he fell in love with it all. Except the sidebar, his wife went deeper and deeper into mental illness, which is part of the tragedy of his life. But the other side was, he thrived at Notre Dame. He loved the students, he loved his teaching. He even fell in love with South Bend. How you could love South Bend, I have no idea. It's gray skies and snow, it's more gray, maybe not more gray skies than we have, but more snow. How would you love South Bend? And he found a church. Now, all through this memoir, he talks about the fact that he didn't even think he was a Christian. And I don't think he was. Until he and his son, his wife, wouldn't go to church. She was so sick. But he and his son started looking for churches, and they found a little Methodist church that had dwindled to 50 people on a Sunday morning and was located in a difficult part of the city. And that little Methodist church transformed him. The theologian became a Christian. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He was changed not in his mind, but in his heart. You've got to be changed in both. And he had this great mind, but his heart was not changed. And in the fellowship of this little Methodist church, where people loved each other and served the poor and served food to the hungry and prayed together, he became a Christian, a real believer. He loved Notre Dame, even though he never said a word about football. I know that he's telling the truth. He loved Notre Dame. And then one day, he got a letter. It was a letter from Duke Divinity School. Now, if you're a Methodist, Duke Divinity School is like the plum of plums. You don't get any better if you're a Methodist than Duke. And Harwes writes, he didn't know what to do. He was in love with where he was, with the people that he served with. He loved everything about where he was. Then they had this invitation to Duke. And do you know what he did? He took the letter to his Methodist church. And he told them, he said, you've got to pray with me. You've got to pray for me. I don't know what to do. And then he said, and after you pray, you will tell me whether I should stay or whether I should go. There's a word for that. It's called meekness. It's a life that's open to the counsel and love and correction and guidance to one's fellow believers and to the Holy Spirit who shows us the way. The meek are the richest people on earth, you know. Blessed are the meek, says Jesus, for they will inherit the earth. They have everything. Amen.
May I ask a question? Did he go to Duke?
Yes. But he still cusses. He went to Duke. All right. And he went to Duke because they said, you go.
Okay.